there are still so many more hurting people out there. And that's the thing. If we were truly on fire, then they would know. They would see it. We would burn bright.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast.
Yeah, I got a PowerPoint. How about that? I don't make PowerPoints. That's for you. I'm just kidding. It's not for you. It's really for me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now you sound awake. All right, so I know that you probably looked at the sermon title and said, yeah, that's not Mark's sermon title. That's mine. Shirley asked me a couple different times if I was saying it right or maybe something was wrong with me because I said, we on fire. She said, what? I said, we on fire. She said, what? We on fire. We what? We on fire. She said, what? I said, okay, we on fire. Oh, we're on fire. No, not we're. We. Okay, you know, I said, I'll write it down. So I wrote it down. But that's the sermon title today. And there's a reason why, and I'm going to get to that point in a minute, but we on fire. Okay, that's a topic that, you know, some people are like, well, why, what do you mean, we on fire? Well, we should be on fire, okay? And I'm not saying we should actually be burning up on fire. I'm stating that we should be on fire. We should be so pumped up and excited about this God that we serve, yet we're not. And so that's what I'm getting to today. The first point that I'm going to start making is, why can't we? What's in a number? You know, when I thought about that, saying it like that, I automatically went to my days in high school playing Romeo in Romeo and Juliet, and hearing Juliet say, you know, what's in a name, you know, and of course she goes on and says more, but I don't remember her part. I remember my part because I was Romeo, you know. Why does that seem funny? Because I was Romeo, all right? I'm serious, okay? I might be a little short, stubby, fat kid, but that don't mean that I can't be Romeo, okay? Okay, you know, that's right, you know. But I was. So leave me alone. All right, but what's in a number? You know, sometimes it really annoys me when I get around other youth ministers. Because sometimes when you get around, and here's the first thing you say. They say, hey, man, how's it going? How many kids you got in your youth group? And you're like, really? You can't ask me about, like, my family? You can't ask me about how my spirituality is going? You would just want to know, how many kids I got in my group? Well, then you start to say, well, I got this many in my group. Well, I got this many in my group. Well, what did you do to get that many? Well, what did you do to get this many? You know, that's always a thing. But sometimes we do need to kind of look at the numbers. Now, I did something. I looked in the numbers of here at Beechwood. Okay? Now keep in mind, it's almost a year that I've been here. How about that? You've put up with me almost that long. And you're going to continue to put up with me. Okay, I'm going to talk to the camera for a minute. I didn't tell them to clap. They did it for me, and then I joined in, okay? That wasn't sign language to keep go, okay? All right. It's documented. Don't you dare edit that out, all right? He'll try and put it before, you know? Okay, but, you know, when I look back at the numbers, in 2013, the average for Beechwood Christian was 80.8. Okay, and that was through October, I think. I think it was what that was. October to, you know, January to October, whatever. 80, okay? Now in 2014 through this October, we're averaging 91, which is great. That is awesome. Actually, it's 91.25, so we almost have a whole person. We're almost at 92. We've just got the legs, okay? So eventually the rest of them will come, okay? I guess we have a Lego person here in the church. But the thing is, 91.25, that's where we're averaging at now, and that is great. That is awesome. And I'm not trying to steal your thunder, and I'm not trying to tell you don't, you know, to stop patting yourself on the back, but we can do so much more. There are still so many more hurting people out there. And that's the thing. If we were truly on fire, then they would know. They would see it. We would burn bright, you know? All right, don't you want to grow is the question that I'm asking. And of course, you know, in the movie The Lorax, which is one of my daughter's favorite movies to watch, there's a song, and they're talking about the tree, and they say that we should let it grow. Did you hear her? She's in the back. Grow! Yeah, I'm excited. Can we watch it today? No. Okay, all right. I'm over it. All right. But no, we should let it, you know, we should let it grow is what they say in the song. And that's what they end up doing. And everything goes back to the way it was. And I really love that story because it says, you know, the word unless. You know, unless you truly care about something, it's not going to change. It's just not. And that's the truth. It's never going to change unless you truly care. So unless we truly care about Christ, we're not going to be letting it grow. We're just going to let it stay. And church, I don't know about you, but when you see a church that just stays, they're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You know, there has been changes that I know that me as a youth minister that I've implemented, and I know that some people probably looked at me when I came in and said, whoa, killer, what were we thinking hiring that guy? Okay? But now some of the changes have worked. Our youth group is growing. We're in that growing stage. I've noticed a big change in the church since I've been here, that we're steadily growing. We're steadily getting new and things. We're stepping up our stage. We're making the stage look different. Things are starting to grow. But here's the thing. Don't let it stop. We have to let it grow. You know, don't you want it? You know, it says in the book of Daniel, it says that that we're supposed to shine like the stars. Okay, the last time I checked, finally in Ohio, I can see stars because in Virginia, I didn't know what a star was, okay, because you can't see nothing but streetlights, and the sky doesn't look black. It looks purple from all the lights around town, and so when we get out here and we see the stars, it is so gorgeous. It's so beautiful. That's what we're supposed to shine like. We need to be on fire. We need to be bright. We need to be, our light needs to be shining. You know what? To be honest with you, I love it when we say that we're Beachwood Christian Church on. But you know what, don't get mad at me, but we shouldn't have to say on Easton because they should automatically know that we are Beachwood Christian Church. That's how bright we should shine. That's how on fire we should be. We shouldn't have to say, yeah, we're not that other church. They should know, we this church. I'm sorry, I get ghetto sometimes, and that's what happens, all right? You got to deal with it, okay? I'm sorry. It's the 757 still coming out of me, okay? It's Virginia, my bad, okay? But that's what we should be. You know, what was your deciding factor about wanting Christ? You know, what was it that just called you to him? You know, for me, it was knowing that no matter what I did the day before, no matter where I was going to go the next day, Christ was going to love me. It's knowing that I might have let other people down around me, but he's the only one that I've never let down. And nor will he ever let me down. You know, knowing that was the deciding factor in me. What made me want Christ was seeing the way that Sarah Lynn and Nathan, my adopted family, seeing the way that Keith and Pat loved on Sarah Lynn and Nathan, seeing that, seeing what a true Christian family was, I had to have it. I wanted to know. I wanted to be a part of that. And God allowed me to be able to do it. That's what made me want Christ. But then the question is, you know what? Sometimes we get so pumped up. We get so excited. I tell the kids, there is nothing like the feeling of coming up out of that water of baptism. You feel all squeaky clean. Okay? And you didn't even have to put the Q-tip in your ear. You know what I'm saying? You just feel all squeaky clean. But then that first sin happens. And that feeling you get of, oh, no. Oh, I got to do better. But you know what? That feeling that you got, eventually, you don't care. Eventually, you just go on sinning and you're just like, whatever, it happens. And that's sad. That's not what it should be like. It should never stop. We should never stop wanting Christ. We should never stop being on fire. We should never try and douse the fire out. We should never be trying to put ourselves under a bush, oh no, or whatever that thing, bold bush something. I don't know what that song is. This is the light of mine, put it under a what? I thought that was like a tree in Monty Python. A shrubbery! You know what I'm saying? No. Whoa. Mom just yelled at me. Okay. So let me tell you now where I got all this from. Here comes the why not in this. I do the communion sometimes, do the communion meditation. Well, wasn't it last week that we went, Dick? We went to go visit Miss Ringer. And when I was sitting there in her house, in an apartment thing, Lord, she's funny, okay? She makes me weep. Because she calls me her handsome preacher. And I'm like, oh. I don't even dress up when I come over here. I mean, I'm excited, okay? So if she could only see me now. All right. So she said, we forgot a bulletin. We had a big Sunday. I was like, but there was 98 in church. We had 98. This was 2 weeks ago. So there's 98. And she looked at me and Dick and she was like, I think it's time. And I was like, wait, what? You think what's time? Don't be doing nothing crazy in here, you know. She said, I think it's time I go to that church. And I stand up on that stage, and y'all might have to hold me up here. But I think it's time I tell these people they need to wake up. And I said, say what? I mean, she said, I think it's time. She said, we used to be busting at the seams. And now look at us. Church, she's not even here on a Sunday morning. And she's angry that these pews ain't filled. But what does that say about us? I mean, yeah, we might like to be able to stretch out a little bit, you know? We might like to be able to have all of our stuff around us, but you know what? How glorious would it be if every seat was filled? How glorious would that be? Think about how beautiful the sound of everyone singing would be. Guys, when one of your oldest members is not content with 98, we need to realize that then we, as not necessarily the oldest members, need to be just as mad that we've only got 98. We need to step up. We need to step up. The way she said it is that we either need to step up or step out. And I said, I can't tell them to step up or step out because that's wrong. But that's funny. You can say it, but I can't say it because then I'll be gone. But she said, it's time to step up. It's time to care about it. It's time to do something. So here's the next question. When will you? You know, did Jesus say keep salvation to yourself is only limited for just a little bit of people? I mean, did you read Matthew 28, 18 through 20 when it said, therefore go and tell no one about me? Is that what he said? Because that's not in the red words I read. I don't know what Bible you got, but somebody must have done that's a typo, okay? He said, therefore go and tell all. Go into all the world to make disciples. Okay? He didn't just say it was limited. But the problem comes in with the next thing. Does it matter what the world thinks about you? Now, this is the biggest thing that my teenagers tell me. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes, you know, being in high school, you guys remember, right? High school. Shirley, I'm just kidding. You guys remember high school, all right? You know, it mattered. You know, you were in certain social groups and stuff like that. But the Christians, that's not necessarily a group that you really want to be in. But you know what? The sad thing is that we've got the word rebel misconstrued. We've got the word rebel so wrong because we think to really be a rebel is to do everything that the world is doing, and that's not right. What it states is to be a rebel is to go against the grain. Well, if we're really going to go against the grain, then we need to do something that the world doesn't do, and that's to show the love of Christ. You know, I told the kids this morning, you know what, there's all these TV shows that are coming out. You know, there's an AD series getting ready to come on TV starting after Easter. You've got all these movies about God. You've got movies about Jesus. You've got all these things going on. There's a reason why those things are going on. Because if we don't get right, eventually we're going to get left, if you get it, all right? If we don't get right, we're going to get left. Okay, that means left behind. Okay, that's it. It's over. It's done. Jesus is coming back whether you want him to or not, and I want him to. We need him more than ever, especially with all the stuff that's been going on in that one town, in that one place that I'm not going to talk about, in that place. They need to keep it there. But anyway, here's the thing, okay? The time for Jesus is now, okay? And it should not matter what the world thinks about us, okay? You know, the name my name in Hebrew means God is my judge or God is judge. God, you know, in one of my old school favorite rappers back in the day, Tupac, you know, only God can judge me now is what he would say, and that's true. Only God can judge us. Nobody's perfect but him. He's the only one that can judge. And so we need to keep that in our mind, okay? And once we realize that it doesn't matter what the world thinks about us, once we realize that Jesus didn't say that salvation was limited, then we need to ask ourselves just one simple question. Are you ready? Now, of course, to my wrestling people, that's Triple H's thing. He says, are you ready? No. Are you ready? Okay, I won't go into that. Anything else? More about wrestling. But here's the thing. The question is, are you ready? Because there's a thing that happens, okay? When you finally say that you want to give your all to God, not only God hears that, but there's this little thing called Satan, and he hears it. And as a matter of fact, when you say that you want to give your all to God, I hope I'm not wrong in saying this, but I think he might hear it a little bit louder than God does. Because that means that the devil is getting ready to lose someone that he thinks that he's got under control. And so now all of a sudden he's going to start trying to be like, well, then I need to throw more things at him. I need to go ahead and, you know, that person, this job, they need this, they need that, so that they can stay away from God. Sometimes it works. Sometimes we put things before God. Sometimes we put sports. We put things in jobs. We put money. We put all these things, other things, in the way of God. But you know what? That doesn't make any difference when it comes to eternity. That's not going to get you a better seat in heaven, and it might possibly get you a better seat in hell, to be honest, okay? Because the thing is, guys, is that when Jesus, when he died on the cross for our sins, he didn't do it just because he wanted to prove that he could live. He did it so that he proved that he loved. He showed us his complete and utter sacrifice of his life by dying on the cross for our sins, and we repay him by staying home on a Sunday morning. We repay him by not going to a Bible study. We repay him by not doing anything for the kingdom. When he is the one who is up there building a kingdom for us, why are we selfish? Like I said, why can't we be on fire? When will we be so bright that it doesn't matter? When will you shine so bright that all of a sudden, you know what? People can't help but say, what are you doing differently? That's one of the things that I can't stand. It's like, you know, people losing weight on a diet. Well, what are you doing differently? Well, girl, I done cut out the carbs. I done cut out the sugars. You know, you cut out everything, okay? You tell everybody what you're cutting out. But you know what's sad? When it comes to our life and when we're happy, they think that it's got to be something else that we're doing instead of it being God. Guys, we should be that on fire for God that people should look at us and just say, what are you doing differently? And you say, it is the scriptures, it is God, it is his love, it is the second chance that I got at life. That's what we should be saying. So that's the question. Have you answered the call to serve the one who gave his last breath before you were able to take your first? You know, it's just crazy. You know, we should be on fire. Are you ready to be on fire? You know, to really, really be a servant of God, to be a servant of God, there is nothing greater. There is nothing greater than having the Lord in your life. And I really hope that today that you don't take away any type of negativity. I hope that you take away the fact that we are the secret keepers of God. It says that in 1 Corinthians 4. We are the ones that have a secret. People should be asking us that what that secret is. And you know what? That secret is the greatest kept secret in all the world, and that's the fact that we one day will leave this place and go to heaven and be with God forever. And you have an opportunity today to be able to do that. You have the opportunity to be able to, as the group comes up, we're going to sing an invitation song. And the invitation song is really simple. You know, we're going to sing, Father, I adore you, and then we're going to go into the part of, I love you, Lord. You know, as we sing this song, with it being so simple, this is definitely something that you can sing with your eyes closed. And if you've never made a decision to become a Christian, now's that time. It's the time to be able to say, you know what, God, regardless of everything else in this world, regardless of the way that I feel, regardless of the way that people feel about me, I'm going to throw that all away. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm going to surrender my all to you. It's not worrying. It's no more gray hairs. Just kidding. But seriously, it's not worrying of anything else. It's giving your all to God. That's what we're here for. We're here to give our all to him. So as we sing this song, Larry's going to come up to the front. I'm going to go step over there because I'm pretty sure I feel like I'm ruining the prettiness over here by being over here. But as Larry comes forward, I just want you guys to just, if you've never made that decision, make that decision today. Just give your all to God. Give your life to God. I promise you, you will not ever, ever regret it.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.